are some calls for him to be fired. Is that something that the president is wanting or considering doing? The
president's number one focus is on his health and recovery, and he looks forward to having him back at the Pentagon as soon as possible. The president respects the fact that Secretary Austin took ownership for the lack of transparency. He also respects the amazing job he's done as defense secretary and how he's handled multiple crises over the last almost 3 years now. Very much values his advice, candor, leadership, and again, looks forward to having him back at the Pentagon.
Okay, so I have a major question here. It's a big question, all right? Is it necessary that we have a defense secretary if we have no idea when he's not there?
That's a good question.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of obvious, but I mean, the dude hasn't been there for how long now? And everybody's just finding out about it. You know, during a time when we've got conflicts kicking off all over the world. And I'm just thinking, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just, it's just not as an important a position as we thought it would be. Or maybe we thought it is, right? I was just, you know, I don't know how much this dude brings in salary, but, you know, we might be able to save the taxpayers some money. Welcome to the program. That's how we're starting the Monday show. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the show. I'm going to get hate mail. You can stream the show. You can also watch the simulcast. It's the video portion of the radio program on Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also catch us on YouTube and Facebook and all of that good stuff. So I just, because he wasn't, I was reading back into his history, into Lloyd Austin's history. And you know that he's not considered like this great talent. Like he was formerly at CENTCOM. There was a lot of criticism as to how he ran his job when he was at, how he did his job at CENTCOM, all this stuff. So I'm just, you know, he's been out for, you know, a little bit now. They had no idea. Biden had no idea. Although they're trying to, I feel like they're trying to retcon that. They released a statement where they came out and said, well, actually, you know, we knew. We were talking about it. Was he, though? He was in St. Croix. He was on vacation. And we're told that whenever he goes on vacation, that he's essentially working the whole time, right? That he's working the whole time. And so that's, we really didn't, it's not a big deal if he takes so many vacations. But apparently, I guess no one, I don't know, no one told him, because other people are saying that nobody knew that he was hospitalized for days. Like, dude was taken back to ICU for post-operative pain. I mean, he's, and in fact, here's the thing that even, that blows my mind even more. So his deputy, and this is CNN that reported this, you know, that bastion of super conservatism, CNN. What? Yeah. No, because the left is always like, we don't like your sources. And the right, Prague, we don't like your sources. The deputy defense secretary wasn't even told that he had been hospitalized. She was at Kathleen Hicks. She's number two at Pentagon. She was pretty much kept in the dark by all of this and wasn't told that he was hospitalized. And he's what, eighth? I can't remember his how far away he is from the office of the executive. But dude's in line, right? I mean, the dude's in line. She didn't even know that he was hospitalized, that he had had a medical procedure when he was on leave. And they didn't actually say what it was. They said it was an elective medical procedure or something to that effect. But then he had post-operative pain. He went back. He began experiencing severe pain on the evening of January 1st, and they took him via ambulance. So it was serious enough for him to be transported via ambulance to Walter Reed, right? And they said that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was notified on January 2nd that he'd been hospitalized the day before. So apparently, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, General C.Q. Brown, wasn't even notified until the day after all of this that Austin had been hospitalized. And then apparently all the people in the chain of command, the military service secretaries, etc., they weren't even notified till 4 days after he was checked back into the hospital. That's kind of crazy. Not even the number two even knew. Not even she knew that he had been hospitalized. She was just assuming his duties. She had no idea. She was kept in the dark until 3 days after he checked back into the hospital for post-operative complications. And the president, according to CNN, he was unaware that Lloyd Austin was even hospitalized until 3 days into his hospitalization. So I've got a lot of questions about this. And I think it's interesting that the left is reporting on this the way they are. Apparently, I don't think they like him from the beginning, but there's a reason why this is a top story, for actually several reasons why this is a top story. Because we have, right now, we've got back and forth with the Iranian proxies, the Houthis in the Red Sea. We've got troops actually abroad. We've got everything happening with Israel versus Hamas. The Chinese saber rattling. North and South Korea. I mean, we can go on and on. The deluge at the border and the national security threat that that presents. And our Secretary of Defense legit disappeared for a week plus. He was gone, hospitalized. Nobody had any idea. Which brings me back full circle to my original question. Do we need one? Do we need this guy? If we didn't even know. I mean, apparently we can still operate while Joe Biden takes, how many days of vacation has he taken? Almost, it's been over half of his presidency that he's been on vacation. I'm not exaggerating. That's like legit how often he's been on vacation. So, I mean, I guess maybe Lloyd Austin got jealous. I don't know. So he takes some time off. Does nobody, here's the other thing I was kind of throwing back and forth in my head. I don't know how the Biden administration runs things. Because when you look at what's happening in the Red Sea, and we talked a little bit about this last week, you know, you have the canal over there. That's a huge, huge means of shipping. That's a major, major issue, oil and gas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They have briefings every single day. They have national security briefings every single day. Did no one think, well, where's Lloyd Austin so we can ask him a question about this? Did no one stop and go, you know, we got these drone attacks happening and we just, you know, now we're responding to the Houthi attack by attacking Houthi, an Iranian proxy group. That's an escalation. Should we bring in the Secretary of Defense on this? The actual Secretary of Defense. Should we bring this guy in? Do you see where I'm going with this? It's weird. How does he stay in his job after this? Now, he released a statement. Let me find this statement. Well, his people did. Because he was, it basically, let me just, I don't need to read the whole thing. It was basically, my bad. I don't even need to sit here and go. NBC was reporting, I read this a couple hours ago. It was basically all, oh, my bad. It says, quote, I'm very glad to be on the mend and look forward to returning the Pentagon soon. I also understand the media concerns about transparency, and I recognize I could have done a better job ensuring the public was appropriately informed. I commit to doing better. But this is important to say. This was my medical procedure, and I take full responsibility for my decisions about disclosure. So basically, he just told you to shut the hell up. That last sentence. He was basically saying, this was my procedure, and it's up to my discretion whether or not I tell you or anybody about it. The dude has not been able to perform his duty since New Year's. Now, they said that he resumed his full duties just this past Friday evening, but he was in the hospital Saturday still, wasn't he? So, oh, and by the way, guess where his deputy was when she was told that she had to resume his duties, but she didn't know what was going on. Guess where she was?
At home?
No. Oh. No, guess where she was?
Grocery store?
Uh-uh. One last guess.
Laundromat?
No. Okay. She was on vacation in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
She wasn't even in D.C. Oh, she wasn't even there. She wasn't even anywhere near. So she just, that's how last minute it was. They didn't even tell the girl. She was in Puerto Rico on vacation, living her best life. And they're like, hey, by the way, Kathleen, guess what? You're now the interim temp sec def. Have fun. She's in Puerto Rico. Just saying. She had no idea. Pentagon officials haven't described his condition or anything else. Again, while he was in the hospital, we went at this dude. Remember, we had the strike. This is, pull this up. This is NBC. U.S. airstrike kills the leader of Iranian-backed militia in Baghdad. That took place while he was in the hospital, totally not even assuming his duties. Okay? We had bases with Americans on them attacked 6 times by Iranian-backed militias. We've been considering how to strike the Houthis because they keep going at ships in the Red Sea. We got 2 carrier strike groups in the Mediterranean right now because of the everything going on in Gaza. And then speaking of, you know, the Houthis, they're based in Yemen. They've been attacking all those container ships coming out of the Red Sea. We had the destroyer that shot down 2 Houthi missiles. That was on December 30th. This was all while this dude has been in the hospital, not able to do his job. And you had number 2 out in Puerto Rico. So again, I go back to, do we need a sec def? Because apparently we don't. Why is he there? If no one is seeking to get his input, and interestingly enough too, the fact that his number 2 had no idea what was happening suggests to me no one sought her input either. Right? Or am I overthinking it? Did anyone seek his deputy's input? This is so bizarre. So that's we're all just finding everything out today. We're going to talk more about it. We also have, apparently, you have a bunch of pro-Hamas toadies who decided to shut down the bridges and tunnels in New York City. So they shut down Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge, and Holland Tunnel. If you've never driven in New York, consider yourself lucky. If you've never been in a car in New York, consider yourself lucky. It's crazy. I remember one time when I was in St. Louis at a protest, I was standing on the sidewalk and I stepped down. I had like 1 foot on the sidewalk and 1 foot like right on the road, but I was still halfway on the sidewalk. And I was told by police that if I was in the road one more time and they didn't even give me a warning before, I think they were just done, that I would be arrested. They said they would absolutely arrest me. But apparently you can be a pro-Hamas terrorist cousin-loving stooge and block roads in Manhattan, and that's totally fine. Arrest every single damn one of these white trust fund socialists. And I'm looking at, you know, Susan Sarandon's out there. What happened to her? She used to be so, like, attractive in both spirit and everything else. What happened to her? She's out there. She got dropped by her agency. They don't want to have anything to do with her. Her career's effectively over. So they're out there blocking roads. Coming up, we got the latest with Iowa 2024. It's a week away. So next week at this time, we're going to find out the reckoning. We're going to find out. The truth is going to come out next week. So we're going to see how that works. We got headlines on the way as well. And our dear friend Stephen Yates is going to join us. Our friends over at Wise Food they think it's smart to be prepared and to have something that you may not need as opposed to desperately need something that you don't have. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. It is never, ever, ever a bad idea to always be prepared. Buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. All you got to do is go to wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in that search bar, and you're going to pull up all kinds of exclusive deals on Wise Food Storage's best-selling products, like, for instance, that 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. You get 2 boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, and drinks. You get all kinds of delicious meals, lots of protein. Everything's made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare. Just add water. Lots of carbs, too, because carbs are you need carbs. When you need energy, when you have food scarcity, these are things that you need. Easy to add, to prepare, just add water. 25-year shelf life. They also have heirloom seed vault, too. Think about your next garden. Know where your stuff comes from. These are non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Every kit contains like 4,500 seeds. It's crazy. 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type Dana in that search bar to access those exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit widefoodstorage.com, code Dana. That's widefoodstorage.com. Use code Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
So people in California, y'all can carry lawfully again. Although really, let's be honest, you could carry lawfully in the first place. The court was trying to do something illegal and bar you from carrying it. So it was a 3-judge panel on the Ninth Circuit. They removed this stay that was had to do with the lower court's ruling on SB 2. And that was pretty much like a full on ban of carry in the state. So the lower court ruling is now reinstated. Because they said that it obviously violated Second Amendment rights. And they said that, I mean, that's what they said. They said the previous administrative stay is dissolved. And so, you know, we'll see. But now it undoes enforcement of all those. And so that's good news for people in California. Also, the first moon launch in decades is apparently going to include space burials. Great. Yeah, you're going to have cadaver sickles out there. This is so...
There's actually a Florida man story with that coming up later.
Astrobotic lunar lander, say that fast, Peregrine, I like that name, even though it's a bird name, Falcon, right? It's set to launch at approximately 2:18 a.m. on Monday, and it's going to be a part of their commercial lunar payload services, and they're working with companies to bring commercial deliveries to the moon, blah, blah, blah. So they want to be able to, like, fly, you know, people's dead bodies, scientists, friends, family, public figures. Astrobotic. They said the companies like Celitas and Elysium Space, they're sending memorials and human remains. Navajo said that they had concerns about this. I agree with Navajo because it's gross. We don't need to be sending out a bunch of dead people out in space. I get it. You think it's vast out there, but that's gross. Unless you're going to like jettison the way from the planet to where we never have to see them again. They're not going to be in orbit. We're not going to have a bunch of dead sickles out there. I agree with Navajo. No. Stop it. I mean, I'm pretty sure I agree with him for different reasons, but I just think it's weird. I just don't be sending up dead people up. Let's see. Also, moving on. I just think it's gross. Like, I have things about, I have thoughts. They said all Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes grounded by the FAA after a window was blown out in midair horror on this Alaska Airlines flight. Let's see. Wall Street Journal is going after Elon Musk. They're like, he used illegal drugs before. They act like it's a secret. Dude smoked pot with Joe Rogan on his podcast. Whether or not you agree with it or not, I feel like that's transparent. Stick with us. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your laptop exposed, just wide open at the coffee shop while you like run to the register or run to use the restroom. I mean, most of the time you're probably going to be okay. But what if one day you come back and you know your laptop is gone or someone's there browsing through all your stuff? I mean, every single time you connect to an unencrypted network, if you're at an airport or a hotel, anywhere, anybody on the same network can gain access to your personal data, things like your financial details, your passwords. And it doesn't take a lot of technical know-how to just like hack somebody. I mean, some cheap hardware is needed and a mildly intelligent 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable because your info can get sold on the dark web. So this is why you need to use ExpressVPN. First off, you got an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't steal your sensitive data and then sell it. And it would take somebody with a supercomputer over like a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Super easy to use. You just fire up the app, you click on one button, get protected, and it works on all your devices. So like when I'm traveling, I'm sure there's stuff that, you know, even anime, if I want to watch it, that I can get using ExpressVPN, things that are only available outside of the US. It just gives you more freedom to choose while also staying protected online. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Dana. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. And you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
The virtue signaling has come to roost. As the U.S. reaches its highest level of illegal border crossings ever recorded, are leftist mayors still calling their cities sanctuary cities? Now that the problem is visible, these cities are on the brink of collapse. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
And allies admit
there's a crisis at the border, and I don't know how anybody could pretend that there isn't.
What? So this is John Fetterman saying this stuff. John Fetterman.
Democrat
John Fetterman. Yeah, the senator. That guy, the guy who didn't want to wear a suit, the guy who wanted to wear a hoodie, that guy, the guy whose wife would crop him out of her pictures, that guy. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. Can I be real? I kind of like the post-stroke veteran. Because see, this is like one of a lot of things lately that he has said that has made a lot of sense. And he just doesn't care. Remember when he, did he flip off the pro-Hamas people when he walked out of the, remember they were all protesting him and he was just like, he wore like a cap with a Star David on it or something like that and walked out and was all in your face. I cannot even believe that I'm, because I disagree with him on so many things. But I find myself sort of, I don't know how to describe this. It's I don't know, maybe memes have taken over my brain too much. But I just sort of feel like my response to him is sort of a, like a somewhat of a smile, nod, slightly satisfied, impressed sort of nod, right? Does that make sense? Like, I don't know what to make of this, ma'am. But I do know one thing. I do know one thing. Dems the rules. Now, Dana, why would you say that? Let me enlighten you. When we criticized him when he was back when he was running his race, right? We were pretty critical because you just didn't think that the dude could be in the Senate. And we were very, very critical. And Democrats said, you're mean. You guys are mean. He's had a stroke. You guys are such jerks. How can you talk about John Fetterman like this? Don't you know that if someone has a stroke, you can never again criticize them if they're on the left? You can, now if they're on the right, like that one Mark, what was it, Mark Warner, the senator that had a stroke, and the Democrats are like, oh, he's dumb now, he's got to go. Oh, they needed him out immediately. But with Fetterman, it was like, no. He's got to stay in. You are mean against the medically impaired if you criticize him. How dare you? They try to make you feel bad. Oh, you're criticizing John Fetterman? Why do you hate people that have had strokes? Well, no one said, oh, yeah, you did. No one literally said that they hated. Yes, you did. You clearly hate people that have had strokes. But see, now we find ourselves in this very interesting position. Because now, John Fetterman is saying stuff like this. You're not supposed to say stuff like this about the border. You're not. Not even if you're a Democrat mayor of a border town. You're really not supposed to say this stuff. See, you're supposed to go along with the narrative that everything is fine. What do you mean there's nothing? They've got, what's his face? Mayorkas going down to the border today, down to Eagle Pass. He's going down to Eagle Pass today. And, of course, he's picking a time when crossings are down right now because it's super cold. They just had, a woman and some children who were trying to cross the Rio, and they got stuck, and they were apparently in the water for, 7 hours, and Border Patrol had to go and get them because they were about to die of hypothermia. They have a reduced number right now because, I don't know if you've looked, it's freezing. It's what's the temperature today in Texas? Well, right now it's 56 here. That might as well be Arctic weather to me. It's going to get colder. It was in the 30s this morning. I don't know how to live when it's that cold. Yes, I'm from Missouri. It was really cold up there. But I've been acclimated down here for a decade, and I just can't. I don't know how people live. I immediately freeze when it drops below 60. Anyway, long story short, it's cold. So there's, and we're supposed to get what, this Arctic chill or some other, I don't know, whatever. It's global warming. Who knows? Arctic chill. So it's going to be really cold this week. But when all the Republican lawmakers went down there this past week, man, the administration had Border Patrol cleaning everything up. Those two bridges down there in Eagle Pass, where they had everyone in a snaked line to line up so they could process them and release them into the interior, they cleaned all that up. They took all that out. Now you would never know. That's what you're supposed to think. I wouldn't know that there were people. Maybe it was some between two other bridges elsewhere. So Mayorkas is going to go down there to do what? I don't know what you have to do. Do you think that they're photoshopping this stuff? I don't get it. He's going down there to the border to check out what? What do you need to check out when you go down to the border? Or, oh yeah, I see some people. Yep, they're crossing. What do you need to look at? You've seen the video. You've seen the reports. But see, you're not supposed to say this stuff, particularly if you're a Democrat. So you got John Fetterman out there saying these things. And Democrats, they can't criticize him. Because what happens if Democrats criticize John Fetterman? Well, they hate people that have had strokes. I mean, Dems the rules, right? So he can go out there and he can say, oh, to hell with you pro-Hamas stooges. He can go out there and say, no, we got a major problem at the border. Big old problem. Quit pretending that it doesn't exist. He can go out there and say those things. And you can't criticize him. Otherwise, you hate people that have had strokes. And why are you against the medically impaired? What's the matter with you bigots? See? So they've set up a little conundrum for themselves. I don't know that anyone could win in his district if they tried to primary him. I don't know if anyone else could win. And it, I don't know, like what, because he wasn't always like this. So I don't know what changed, but I don't dislike it. So as I said, Mayorkas is going down there to the border. And I don't know what he thinks that he's going to look at, what he thinks that he's going to see. But maybe we'll, I don't know. They're not going to, they want this. This is on purpose. It's just theater. Nothing's going to change. Literally nothing's going to change. Because of the time period that he's going to, he could have gone down when, you know, you last month. I mean, this is his one job. So don't tell me that he was too busy. So this is one job. He could have went down last month when you saw more people coming across the border, 290,000. It was a record than any month prior. Could, I mean, it's fascinating to see. But he's, nothing's going to come of it. You're not going to get anything done with the, with the border. It's not going to happen. So the mayor down there in Eagle Pass is begging for help. He's a Democrat. Local businesses are upset. Everybody's upset. Their main street in Eagle Pass is less than 1 mile from the border. So when you have businesses that are on Main Street there, in these, and Eagle Pass is just one example, that right there on Main Street, less than a mile from the border. We told you, when was this, like a couple of weeks ago, DHS had to close the border here and there. And they've been like this rolling border, like the bridge. They've been closing the bridges here and there where all of the big trucks, the delivery, everything comes across. That is killing these businesses. It's killing them. They had to close those borders because they had to take all the personnel to go process all these people who were coming over illegally. So that's why they had to close a lot of these bridges. And that created, it wasn't just a nightmare in traffic, but it was a nightmare for all of the businesses that have customers, whether it's in, you know, the border state or whether it's in Mexico, and all the businesses that are transporting goods across the border. They had one business owner who spoke to KSAT. This was a local press down in Texas, down in Eagle Pass. And they said that residents are hoping that Mayorkas is going to not only just like cast a glance at the border, but also talk to some of these businesses. They said that, for instance, Angel Gonzalez is one business owner. Here's what KSAT reports. They said that his business is on Main Street, one of many less than a mile from the border. It's a family-owned business. For 2 months, sales have gone down. For 2 months. And he blames the weeks long bridge closure, because they had to shut all that down so they could take all those border personnel and they could shift all of those over to process the 290,000 people plus that came in across the border just in the month of December. And Gonzalez says they're hurting the businesses here. The immigrants who came here legally and established these businesses, added to the tax, added to the area. And now these businesses are paying the cost of illegal immigration. Double fold, by the way, not only with the bridge closure and the effect of shipping and receiving, but taxation. These businesses are taxed. Those tax dollars now are having to be re-diverted away from the community to which they're supposed to go. Now they have to deal with the resources for illegal immigrants. And he's not the only person. I was actually surprised that KSAT was talking to these. You're never going to hear Angel Gonzalez on CNN. He's never going to be invited to go on MSNBC. None of these business owners do. None of those immigrants matter. See, people coming across the border, immigrants only matter to Democrats if they can be used as pawns, which is why I roll my eyes whenever Eric Adams or any of these other Democrat politicians go on and on and wax poetic about how, oh, it's so mean for Greg Abbott to use people as pawns. The people they're using as pawns are the legal immigrants. The people they are using as pawns are people like Angel Gonzalez and his family and so many other families of people that I have met in all of these border towns who are trying to live the American dream, and they have enough respect for the country to do it legally. And they're penalized for it, and they're ignored for it. It's weird because Democrats used to talk such a great game about acknowledging and celebrating the contributions of people who immigrate to the United States. You're not allowed to say melting pot anymore, even though that was actually a strength. And it was a strength because it downplayed all other identity, everything, for the singular identity of seeking freedom. That's why you can't say melting pot anymore. They try to make it offensive because they need the division of all the other identities so that you put last the number one identity that is the only identity that matters in America, seeking freedom. So Democrats don't celebrate all of that anymore. Instead, they want to shame people, including those who came here legally, for the actions of those who come illegally. Kane, what was the year? How many years? It was a story that we had last week, and I could not find it. I was looking for it this morning. I could not find it. But it was an example. Somebody was given a notice to appear date for immigration court, but it was like 6 years later in the future.
Yeah, and they're actually ballooning a little beyond that, too. I'm seeing ones that are now up in the 7 year range as well.
Unbelievable. We have more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. All the latest with 2024. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into, speaking of immigration, New York Post says that illegal immigrants are now driving cars around New York. How do they get them? And there's a lot of questioning about whether or not we bought them. I'll explain coming up. The only Christian conservative cell phone service out there. They want to save you money on your cell phone bill. I know a lot of people don't like doing business with entities that they think, you know, they have values that aren't reflective of what they hold themselves. So that's, I just don't understand why you would still continue to do business with the, you know, all these other wireless providers, these cell phone companies out there, when they actually take your money and they use it to work against you every election, like they're doing right now. Patriot Mobile doesn't do that. They actually put their money where their mouths are. And for 10 years, they've been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, standing behind their service and their values as a company, but also the issues and people that you vote for and vote to protect every single time you go to the ballot box. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, not only are you going to save money, but you're going to get a phone plan that's tailored to what you and your family need. It's going to be affordable. You're going to have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're going to get the best service in your area. And most importantly, you're not going to fund the left as well. Keep your phone and your number or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And you can talk today to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team who will make it super easy to switch. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Switch today. What are you waiting for? PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Don't forget free activation using code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
In the year 2023, it also amazes me how many people are like, well, I don't see color, or it would be so much better if we just didn't worry about someone's skin tone. You as an individual are contributing to the problem because our broader society sees color, and it's not just physically seeing a color. There is so much more to it than just that. And if you don't understand that, you are again part of the problem. And it's just to keep telling people that over and over is so frustrating. And I was just on TikTok and there's a trend where parents are teaching their kids not to see color, quote unquote.
Oh my gosh,
and
I'm like, I'm so tired of this.
Okay, so the next round of people that are going to be joining our workforce, this next generation, are going to be dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with now.
So this is Google's DEI grifter, I'm sorry, leader, Adriel Parker, who's very, very upset that parents are telling their kids, don't judge people or make any kind of determinations about them regarding the color of their skin, because she very much wants people to do that while simultaneously claiming that her long-held position isn't. It doesn't make any sense. This is so stupid. It's a grift. In order for people like Parker to fleece stupid companies who want a virtue signal behind this veneer of DEI, in order for them to keep making the bank, they have to have everybody believing in this nonsense. That's what it is. It's so stupid. This is Morgan Freeman was like, well, stop talking about it if you don't want everybody to focus on it. Exactly. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, no, we need people to focus on it while simultaneously slamming people for focusing on it. Do you realize how none of this makes sense? They have to have the conflict. People make money off of this conflict. People, you know, War Inc., yeah, that's a real thing. But this DEI Inc. is also a real thing. Dink. It's also a real thing. It's just, they have to have that. They're the people who also got mad at the word melting pot because, see, they don't like it that you have a bunch of people that come together under the one identifier of liberty. Everybody has to be divided so that they don't focus on liberty. They focus on everybody else's differences instead of focusing on the similarities. They hate common ground. The biggest threat to the left is common ground. Biggest threat. They can't have it. All right, so coming up in our second hour, the latest with the crisis at the border. That's what Fetterman calls it. You can't disagree with him or you hate people that have had strokes. You hate medically impaired. And Mayorkas is heading to Eagle Pass today to do absolutely nothing. We're also getting to 2024 stuff. Liz Cheney says Ron DeSantis is unfit for office over his January 6th remarks. Okay. I told you the establishment absolutely hates them. You're never going to see Ron DeSantis out there campaigning with Lindsey Graham. You ain't never going to see him handpicking the RNC chair. You ain't never going to see him backing somebody like Kevin McCarthy, who he was against when he was in the House. You ain't never going to see none of that stuff. So we're going to talk about all of that as we roll into Iowa, which is 1 week away. And also the Chicago mayor says that if you're sending illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities, you're specifically attacking cities with black leaders only. What? That's literally what he said. That's actually what he said. So we're going to talk about all of that and more. I am back on my Black Rifle binge. And I think I had Blackbeard's Delight this morning. So normally I do like my AK-47 blend, or I'll do my roast, or I'll do my silencer smooth. But I had Blackbeard's Delight today. They have so many different choices over at Black Rifle Coffee. This makes such a great Christmas gift. I mean, if you love like actual good coffee that's strong and bold and packs a punch, this is the perfect coffee for you. You don't want bland, mediocre, communist swill. This is the best way to get high-quality coffee roasted right here in America. They don't white-label this like other people do, where they roast it like in Canada and then they have it shipped in. No. They roast it here in Memphis, in Tennessee and in Utah, 5-6 days a week, and then they deliver it right to your door as part of the coffee club with Black Rifle Coffee Club. When you join the club, you get 30% off your first subscription order with code Dana. That's 30% off. You get free shipping. You are going to pay less for this than if you were go to the grocery store and just buy coffee off the shelves there. You become a member of that coffee club, 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana, but you're also not paying any shipping. You're never going to run out of your favorite brew. You can pick your coffee and quantity, AK-47 espresso, the thin blue line, medium roast, great police supporting roast, the Freedom Fuel dark roast. Pick your delivery schedule and you're all set. You can also get apparel, the grinders, the mugs, so much more for that perfect brew. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're also funding their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. Veteran owned, employs veterans, and they make the best coffee out there. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And Mother Emmanuel. The fact of the matter is, that young man went into that church's basement, joined with those worshipers in Bible study, and murdered them. And he said at the time that he was attempting to create a race war.
Hmm. Now, Clyburn is trying to blame this again. He's trying to somehow make this like and act like it was part of the right or something like that. I wrote about this. I'm going to tweet this out shortly. I wrote about all of this back when it happened in 2015. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but it was a terrorist act. The guy was the killer responsible was charged with felony possession back in February 2015. And I just want to bring this up to you just to give you kind of some perspective. He, according to the court documents in South Carolina, he was arrested in Lexington County on felony charges of cocaine possession, methamphetamine, and LSD on February 28th of 2015. Now, in that state, that alone disqualified him from legal carry and purchase. In South Carolina, you only have to be charged with a felony to lose any Second Amendment right. Now, whether you agree with that or not is irrelevant here. That's the state of the law in that area. That's what South Carolina law is. He would have failed a background check to legally purchase a firearm. Now, it was reported that his father purchased for him a handgun on his 21st birthday. His 21st birthday was listed on April 4th. Now, 2 months after he's charged with a felony, his dad buys him a gun. So that meant that that had been a straw purchase, which is a felony punishable by 10 years in jail, $250,000 fine. So they weren't even sure whether or not the firearm was used in the massacre. And then it came out that they were going back and forth. They said that CNN corrected the reporting and said that he had been given birthday money to buy a gun. So he had been able to legally purchase a firearm is what ultimately ended up. He had been able to legally purchase a firearm. Now, the reason why he was ineligible to purchase, I told you that, but the reason why that purchase went through is because, and I'm pulling this up as well, it was that that story that I was telling you about. He was, it was an FBI error. It was an actual literal FBI error. The FBI director, James Comey, at the time, and PolitiFact even still has this up because they had to correct Bloomberg AstroTurf Group's claims on this. The FBI director said that clerical errors led to this guy being able to legally purchase his gun in April of 2015. And the FBI did not confirm that the sale should not have been allowed until after, 2 months after the shooting. FBI Director James Comey's statement, which is still available online, came out and said all of this. He said, quote, I wanted to describe the particulars of the purchase and background check, et cetera, et cetera. What had happened was the clerk in Lexington County went to the court to see if the matter had been resolved. Her review, and this is according to Comey at the time, who was FBI director, her review of the court website showed that the killer was a defendant there, but was not yet disposition in the case, which meant he was not a convicted felon. She didn't stop there. She faxed a request to Lexington County Sheriff asking for more details. She faxed a similar request to Lexington County Prosecutor's Office. She heard back from the Sheriff's Office saying the case wasn't there. She should check with Columbia Police Department. And this is my emphasis, not Comey's. Not knowing the geography, she did what she was supposed to do and followed our protocols. Examiners used contact sheets that list criminal justice organizations organized by state and county. Because the arrest was attributed to the Lexington County Sheriff, she was obviously dealing with Lexington County, so she pulled up the sheet for that county. As she examined it, she did not see a listing for Columbia, but she did see a listing for West Columbia. Informed by the fact that the gun had been bought in West Columbia and that it was the only listing on the sheet for such a name in Lexington County, she contacted West Columbia Police. They replied that they had no record of such a case. The contact sheet did not list Lexington County did not list the Columbia Police. They said that the PD was only listed as the contact for Richland County. The examiner, my emphasis, never saw the sheet because she was focused on Lexington County. So court records showed no conviction. And what she thought were the relevant agencies had no information or hadn't responded. And while she processed the many other firearms purchased in her queue, that one remained delayed pending. On April 16th, it was still listed as status pending, so the dealer exercised their lawful discretion and transferred the firearm. It was clerical error because geography. That is what happened. That is the direct quote from James Comey in the FBI. It wasn't because, and again, the system is only as good as the people that are operating it. It doesn't matter, though. Criminals aren't going to follow laws. You know, we have laws against murder, too. And instead of focusing on strengthening the areas that are soft, they go out there and they try to push division and hate and all this stuff. I mean, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But this is what they do every single time. They're not going to sit here. Do you think that Biden's going to bring any of this up? No, he's going to talk about guns, and then he's going to talk about how, oh, well, it was the right that blah, blah, blah did this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's other sound bites that are really stupid that are coming out. We're going to address all of that. But I wanted to set that up because you're going to hear the same stuff all day today and probably this evening regarding this. So that's it. So that's why this ended up happening. And it had it had to do with an agency error, which shouldn't be surprising really to anybody. So this is how he's starting his campaign. By doing this, he's focusing on hate, 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 division, division, division. People are tired of it. They're so tired of it. They are so incredibly tired of it. They want to see solutions. They want to see like actual receipts. I don't know if you guys saw this last week, but one of the big things that was done, and this had to do with teachers unions in Florida. Their New York Post has this fight that they've been having. It was a law that DeSantis signed in May, has the nation's third largest teachers union facing extinction, United Teachers of Dade. They represent 25,000 Miami school workers. They're scrambling for survival. And it was because apparently their members felt that their leaders were pretty out of touch with them. So the legislation that was passed ended the practice of automatically deducting dues from paychecks. And so teachers could send in money on their own if they found value in that representation. And guess what happened? They stopped because they didn't find value in that representation. Wow. When they did not have their wages forcibly taken from their checks, that is what happened. I can't tell you how many teachers I know that hate the fact that they don't have any control over their dues being taken and they don't like the representation at all. And they're like, you know, all of the bad policies that have come out in the past, you know, 15, 20 years have been from, it's been supported by the representation in these unions. It's pretty amazing. Why isn't this getting more play? Is this not one of those policy solutions that limited government people have long demanded? And this isn't done by an executive order. This was done by an actual bill that was passed, right? You can't do everything by executive order either. Because that's not leadership. That's lazy to do everything by executive order. Leadership, you got to be able to convince people in your party to pass bills. You can't just do everything with a pen, because as we've seen in the past almost 4 years now, it can be undone with a pen. Like, that's why tax cuts aren't permanent. Yeah, I'm a little sore about that. We have a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. Plus, the latest with immigration and 2024 Iowa and the establishment fight, all kinds of stuff.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a couple of things here. First off, the snowstorm that's hitting, 60 million people in the northwestern U.S. this weekend. What do they say? It's going to frigid temperatures. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. Well, you live in the Northeast. Why is this a big shocking thing? Am I being, mean? You all know how to deal with snow. Y'all know how to deal with cold. I mean, hell, home's in, the thumb and the mitten of Michigan, right? Or the tip of the index finger of Michigan. Y'all don't even have AC in your houses. I know this. Y'all used to the cold. So they said it's the first big snowstorm, a big one. They said it'll be the biggest in 2 years, is impacting the interior mid-Atlantic and much of New England. Again, it's like saying there's going to be some heat in Texas, guys. Let's get ready. Okay, it's a dry heat. New York girls high school basketball game was canceled after anti-Semitic slurs were hurled at players via the New York Post. This was in Yonkers. They said it was canceled this week when players on the home team were screaming anti-Semitic slurs at their Jewish opponents, who needed security guards to escort them off the court to safety. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a parent and you didn't go down there to whoop the ass of your kid on the court who was doing it, then you suck as a parent. I don't know. I personally think that you're scum of the earth and your stupid brat kid is too. So screw y'all and blank your kids, right? Okay. Honestly, if I saw one of my kids do that, Oh, man, there would not be enough flip-flops in the world. There wouldn't be. I would be on that court. I wouldn't be just be beating my kid. I'd be beating all your kids. And any parent that came down to stop me, I'd beat you too. So, yeah, they were screaming, blank you Jew. I support Hamas. That's literally what, and they're on tape saying this. We can't play any of it because they're, yeah, literally saying they support Hamas. That's a terror group, you stupid inbred brat. That's a terror group. Good grief. I just, you know, I have no at all whatsoever sympathy or courtesy for these people. Sometimes rough hands are needed. Let's see. Jodie Foster says that Generation Z can be really annoying to work with. Really? I mean, we are not shocked. She says that she finds Gen Z really annoying, but she hopes that people can find their own path to help them learn how to relax. And she says that some, she goes, they're annoying in the workplace. She joked. They're like, nah, I'm not feeling it today. I'm going to come in at 10:30. Or in emails, she says, I'll tell them, this is all grammatically incorrect. Did you not check your spelling? And they're like, why would we do that? Isn't that limiting? Like, you can't even proofread your stuff? Like, what is the matter with you? My gosh, I'd never send anything in and had I not done. Oh my gosh. She's right, though. She's absolutely right. Let's see. MSN. I feel like if you have to be a real estate broker, then your first job isn't a rapper. Texas rapper and real estate broker was arrested for allegedly kidnapping a pregnant woman and locking her in his garage for years. 52-year-old Lee Carter, a.k.a. Viper, was formally charged Thursday after Houston police responded to his home on a report of a kidnapping. They said they found the woman who told them she had been trapped inside, according to court documents. She had been abducted about 4 or 5 years prior while pregnant and panhandling on the street. The man approached her to give her a dollar and then returned to ask her if she needed help and then told her to get in the car. So, yeah, they were able to. That's crazy. I also feel like don't get in the car with weirdo people. And carnivorous invasive frogs are breeding in Georgia, say biologist. I don't like that.
Carnivorous?
Carnivorous. Don't they eat bugs in that anyway? That's like meat, right? Stick with us. We got more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Movement for Justice in the summer of 2020. I signed the most significant police reform executive order in history.
Okay, so that's not the audio soundbite we were looking for. I wanted to get the BLM. I'm going to see if I can play this on my computer because this is when the president, he's speaking at this church. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. He's speaking at this church and he was talking about, let me pull this up here. Hang on just a moment for me. He was reacting to, let me pull this up. Bear with me here. He was talking about the whole issue of BLM and how it was this like apparently nice patriotic sort of thing that he did.
Historic movement for justice.
Let me see if I can.
After the historic movement for justice in the summer of 2020, I signed the most significant police reform executive order in history.
This 2020 BLM, the riots. How is this a historic movement for justice? Is what I would like to know. How is this a historic move? When you look at where all of these riots and all of the destruction and everything else took place, where did this happen? It happened in predominantly minority neighborhoods, and it affected predominantly minority businesses. So you had minority businesses and minority neighborhoods that were utterly destroyed by a movement that claimed to somehow advocate on their behalf. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. It was a violent, I mean, we had rolling violent riots that I wish the office of the executive actually would have stopped. I don't know why in the hell we had a, you know, Republicans in the White House and Republicans in the House, and yet this was allowed to happen. And then there was a portion when all of us were told to stay in our homes and everything else, and yet these riots and everything, I mean, they tried to burn down a church. But if you want to ask questions about it now, you're told that, you know, just shut up and just get in line. We live in a monarchy and pledge fealty. Yeah, I got questions. So do a lot of other people. How many? Every night we saw riots on TV. Every night something was on fire. Every damn night. Entire neighborhoods. People were assaulted and attacked. A kid was killed in Portland. I was just this crazy, and it was all sanctioned. Not only was it sanctioned by this administration, but Kamala Harris promoted the bail fund. That was the insurrection. If you want to have a discussion about an insurrection, that was the insurrection. Was those riots. You don't get justice with injustice. No justice has ever been achieved by promoting injustice. Ever. So you can't claim that this was a movement about justice. It was a movement about injustice. Good heavens. Yeah, mostly peaceful. Good grief. And then he did this thing where he pandered again. I want to know why in the world Democrats always go and they default to this, what is it? It's this Reverend James Cleveland who made this, he had this originally. Hillary Clinton became famous for it. Now you've got Joe Biden, who's speaking to this church, and I guess he realized, I'm in a black church, I guess I... Then he decided to pander them one of the most, like, bigoted ways. Listen, so ridiculous.
My fellow Americans, this is a time of choosing. So let us choose the truth. Let us choose America. I know we can do it together, and it's the gospel song sings, we've come too far from where we started.
There he goes.
Nobody told me the road would be easy.
There he goes. He's going to get into it now.
Believe he brought me this far to lead me. My fellow Americans, I don't think the good Lord brought us this far to leave us behind.
I mean, you know, heaven forbid Joe Biden quote like Frederick Douglass or somebody, but if you asked him who Frederick Douglass was, he probably wouldn't know. Remember when Hillary Clinton did it? Remember? Yeah, listen.
Say with one voice.
Don't feel no ways tired.
Tired? Oh my gosh, you remember that? It's like the worst
where
seven
I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Oh my gosh. They always go to that quote every time. They always go to that quote. I mean, you know, it'd be cool if they, like, I don't know, quoted Thomas Sowell even. You know, they probably don't know who he is either. Just thinking out loud. But they always go back. I mean, there's all of them, all the Democrats. They always quote that. They always quote James Cleveland. They always go back and quote that. What was his point of, like, mentioning this? I don't know. Like, what was his whole thing of going into that? He's fear mongering and race hustling by going to the church because he's exploiting the tragedy and trying to use a tragedy that was created by bad leadership. And I would say, I mean, all of these agencies that are supposed to run these systems, they all say that, oh, no, you don't need guns. These agencies are going to keep you safe. Then the agencies allow killers to actually buy firearms because of the clerical errors. Regardless of whether or not you like the system, that's not the question. The question is, these are the people who said, no, we got to have these things in place to keep you safe, except, you know, when we don't actually make them work. They don't tell you about that part. Good heavens. But then they'll use their errors as a way to argue to make you more vulnerable. So isn't he going to go to, he's like doing a tragedy tour, isn't he?
Yep.
Where's he going after this?
Name the tragedy.
No, I mean, did he do the Valley Forge thing already where he was trying to, So what's he's like doing something else after this.
Yeah, I'll look at the list, but there's a whole campaign.
It all blends together because it's all the same message of hate and Republicans are racist and I know ways tarred and all that. I don't know. It's the same, it's the same, golly. I can't deal. And we're going to have, golly, how many, unless he decides to drop out, which is not going to happen. I think the only way he drops out is if it's not Trump as the Republican nominee. If Trump isn't the Republican nominee, then I think Biden will drop out because he's the only person that he's competitive against. Don't get mad at me. I'm just citing the polls. I mean, we can ignore all of the data that's out there, and I can just, you know, blow smoke up everybody's backside if it makes us all easier to sleep at night, but I'm just being honest with you. That is the way it is. And Democrats are perfectly fine with allowing that to happen, because you all know he's not making these decisions in the White House. You all know this. It's not him. Golly. Have you seen, where's the other soundbite that he has? Here, the one where he couldn't even, I don't even know what he was saying here. I think our friend Larry sent us, our Vegas Larry sent this to us. I don't know what was he even saying? And it was just a bunch of stutter. He wasn't even stuttering. He was not even getting his words right. They like to try to advertise his inability to make one coherent sentence as stutter. And that's not what a stutter is. Listen.
Those pushing the big lie have a conspiracy theory among conspiracy theories that outweighs them all. That there's what, but here's the fact. There's where we don't have facts. Their whole theory has no facts, has no proof, has no evidence.
What?
I think he lost track when he was reading the teleprompter.
Does he have a teleprompter? Yeah, I'm sure he has a teleprompter up there. I don't see
giant, giant letters.
Yeah. Good heavens. So, a couple of other things. Speaking of FBI and errors, did you guys see this from NBC? You know, the Perry School, the trans militant murderer, another trans activist murdering school kids. So the Iowa killer was active on Discord and the FBI was aware. They said that they had flagged the chat room had been flagged to the FBI in November, and an agent had reached out and asked for more information. And a lot of people told the FBI exactly what was happening. They sent screenshots and they never heard back. No one ever followed up. You know how they should have told them that maybe they were, we heard that they walked past the Capitol on January 6th. Yeah. If you want to get them to do something, they walked past the Capitol on January 6th. I had a friend of mine who was like, now, you know, to be fair, I'm sure they get a lot of tips. And fewer probably legitimate. But, you know, it's easy in hindsight to say that they should have done something. That's not what the argument is, though. The argument isn't, well, they get a lot of tips. The argument has been, you deserve fewer rights because these agencies can keep you safe. That's what the argument is. You deserve fewer rights because these agencies can keep you safe. Well, if you get too many damn tips to follow up on, isn't that like more of a reason for people to be armed and able to protect themselves? That's the way I look at it. Heavens on earth. Now, coming up, very interesting. The Biden administration doesn't have the best relationship with the media, I don't believe. And now it looks like it's getting worse. Apparently, the Biden campaign team has a spreadsheet for meetings with reporters where they discuss whether or not they think that that reporter's particular, whether or not their reporting has fallen short. And apparently, they had a really bad time with the New York Times. We're going to talk about this coming up. We also have Florida Man later on in the program as well. And then coming up in our third hour, our friend Stephen Yates is going to be his first time on this new year. We have a lot of stuff to touch on, including not just with China, but also the Houthis in Yemen. Because remember, Yemen's a hot spot. And, you know, we have the Suez Canal, major hot spot for shipping. And yet now we're having all of these, I mean, we're dealing with these Iranian-backed militias, et cetera. And, of course, our own service members being attacked. So a lot to touch on as we move our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service out there. They want to save you money on your cell phone bill. I know a lot of people don't like doing business with entities that they think, you know, they have values that aren't reflective of what they hold themselves. So that's, I just don't understand why you would still continue to do business with the, you know, all these other wireless providers, these cell phone companies out there, when they actually take your money and they use it to work against you every election, like they're doing right now. Patriot Mobile doesn't do that. They actually put their money where their mouths are. And for 10 years, they've been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, standing behind their service and their values as a company, but also the issues and people that you vote for and vote to protect every single time time you go to the ballot box. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, not only are you going to save money, but you're going to get a phone plan that's tailored to what you and your family need. It's going to be affordable. You're going to have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're going to get the best service in your area. And most importantly, you're not going to fund the left as well. Keep your phone and your number or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And you can talk today to a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team who will make it super easy to switch. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Switch today. What are you waiting for? PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Don't forget free activation using code Dana.
We have other Republican candidates for president like Ron DeSantis who have said they are open to reviewing the cases against these defendants and considering pardons for them.
Look, you know, the president has pardon power and pardon authority. I think that it's a very important piece that people ought to consider when they're thinking about for whom they're going to vote. Someone who says that they would pardon individuals who assaulted the Capitol, who attempted to stop a constitutional process, who assaulted police officers. I mean, it was a bloody battle. I had police officers, one, tell me that it was like medieval hand-to-hand combat. The notion that the Republican Party would continue its efforts to whitewash that day, mm-hmm. when the peaceful transition of power is at the core of the survival of our republic, yeah. tells you that they're unfit for office.
So that is Liz Cheney, who is taking issue with Ron DeSantis because of the stuff that Ron DeSantis has said about J6, because he's been saying that. I mean, there were people, stuff that came out talking about how people who didn't even enter the Capitol were being cited with like unlawful and all kinds of ridiculousness. I mean, there's not a lot of transparency in the way that this has been pursued. And there's nothing wrong with pointing that out. There's nothing wrong with asking about it. Nothing wrong at all. It's really weird how they're just, heaven forbid you ask any questions about it. I mean, for the people who were breaking windows or whatever, I have no problem with. I mean, that's my tax dollars that you broke. I mean, we pay for those windows. Fine. People are violent. We're not the left. We don't excuse it and say, oh, those are peaceful people. But to act like everybody there, and I've said this a million times, we were on air when it happened. You had a peaceful rally, and then honestly, you had some people, and then you had feds that were there. That's not a lie. This is all stuff that's come out. You had agitators, and you had some Fed boys there, and you had some people who were dumb enough to go along with it. Yeah. But to act like that was representative of the thousands of people who were there is such disingenuous pig feces that I don't even have the strength of will to entertain it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast, the video component of the radio program as well, on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, where you have all kinds of discussion that happens on YouTube. But yeah, there's a lot where some of the charges and some of the stuff that came out about this, there's a lot of questions that are being asked, and that's what DeSantis is doing. And Liz Cheney is going apoplectic over it. I've never seen anyone that shoots herself in the foot more than this woman. When she was first elected, wasn't she kind of popular in her state? If memory serves, I was trying to think back. Because I just didn't, I mean, I always thought she was kind of moderate, but I never if you had asked me to gamble on whether or not you would see her basically become a darling of MSNBC. I would not have really had that on my bingo card. I don't know. I don't think I would have. But she's part of the establishment. I think the establishment hates, they don't like DeSantis. They don't like DeSantis. This, I'm going to pull this up too. I got some polling here. This is from some of the latest. It's called Future Majority. They've got Nevada, Pennsylvania, New York, blah, blah, blah. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff. They were looking at 2,500 voters. This is a poll that looks into a couple of different states. And it shows Trump and Biden. I mean, it measures a couple, but I wanted to look at Trump and Biden because this is what's getting me. It measures Biden against DeSantis and all of that. Trump is within the margin of error for Biden with this polling, with this latest survey in a few states. But here's one of the things that I've noticed. In a lot of these polls that have been out, let me go to Real Clear Politics, which just shut down on me. Apologies. So, and looking at a lot of, and go, state by state, I've noticed, one of the things that I have noticed is that, I'm not looking at primaries, I'm looking at just matchups, which I know we've all been focused on delegates and all, which is important right now, because it's what all of this is about. But I've noticed on whenever it's a Biden versus Trump matchup, and I'm only looking at a handful where they've looked at not just voters, but it's either likely or registered voters. I don't want just like a sample of randos. Trump doesn't get over 45, really. He doesn't get over 45 in the majority of them. And it's very, very close with Biden. Now, you could say, yeah, we're still early on in the primary process. Yes, but one of the things, there's two things that Republicans have got to consider that they're not doing anything. Actually, three things. They're not doing jack diddly about. Mail-in ballots, which I've only heard one campaign talk about mail-in ballots and how they're going to take advantage of that. And then the left is going apoplectic. We'll talk about that later. The split ticket voting problem. I've said this before. In Texas, John Cornyn got more votes than Donald Trump. That's not me being mean. That was right after we allowed split ticket voting in Texas, meaning you didn't have to vote straight Republican ticket or straight Democrat ticket. You could vote however you wanted to with a ballot, Republicans and Democrats. And a lot of people want to brush it off. And I think there is fraud, but I also think that it's irresponsible to claim that everything, especially in split ticket voting, is fraud because it excuses the problem and allows it to get bigger. I'm going to promise you, it does not matter who you got on that ticket. If it's Trump, if it's DeSantis, whoever it is, if you don't get a handle on split ticket voting, you're not going to win. If you don't get a handle on mail-in ballots, it doesn't matter if it's Trump on the ballot or DeSantis or anybody, you're not going to win. And Republicans, they want to act like everything is tribal. God forbid we talk about any of these issues because it's like you want to, it's not a statement on fraud or elections or anything else. These are real problems that the RNC is refusing to deal with for some reason. I have no idea why. Do you want to lose? Do they want to lose? Two major issues they are not dealing with. It enrages me because it divides division on the right. That's why it makes me mad. It's a problem that their lack of leadership in the RNC, which is weird because you've got a handpicked leader up there, the lack of leadership in the RNC is contributing to this. The third problem is this: soft disagreement and soft support. Why do I bring up that there are a number of polls where you have, and again, you have matchups, and a lot of this, it's for DeSantis as well. But I'm looking at the Trump-Biden stuff because there's more of those than there are of the matchups of Biden-DeSantis. The ones that have Trump up, even if it's like most margin of error is like 3.5 with a lot of these polling, with a lot of the polling. And they're not able to get him to past 45%. People disagree with Biden, but soft disagreement does not mean total support. That does not translate into support. Soft disagreement with the Democrat candidate does not turn into soft support for the Republican candidate. There is no election in history where that has ever been proven true. This is a major problem. And I think this is what also showed up in 2020, along with split ticket voting and mail-in ballots. Three issues that the RNC is like, we don't know. And everybody on the GOP is too busy either filleting one person's ego, fighting with each other on who's an influencer or supporter or paid or bought off, and not a single damn person is free to actually look at these three major issues that are going to tank the Republican Party's efforts no matter who's on the ticket. It doesn't care. If you're not addressing these issues, then everybody can fight amongst themselves as to who they should bend a knee to. I'm done. Bye, America. The country's blanked. The way it is. And everybody's being distracted. I got all the stupidest arguments on Twitter with people who I never seen bust their ass in meat space, but by Jiminy, they can sit here and try to raise a fit on Facebook or Twitter, because we all know that those really turn into the actual action. Just ask AOC, who has no traction in meat space but gets only our attention on social media. My gosh, people, stop thinking that Twitter and Facebook are the be-all, end-all. They're not. I get so pissed off about this because the RNC isn't doing a damn thing about it. What is the point of handpicking people to run the Republican Party if the three biggest problems that are going to tank Republican victory in 2024 are not being addressed? And it doesn't matter who's on the ticket. So we got split ticket voting, soft support and soft disagreement, and mail-in ballots. Now, let me tell you this AP piece about mail-in ballots. It's so stupid. Listen to this headline. Ready? This is just from June. Republicans set to push mail ballots voting methods they previously blasted. Are you serious? So they're mad. Now, this happened because it started because you had DeSantis going out there saying, okay, well, in the states where we're doing mail-in ballots, we're going to go out and we're going to ballot harvest like there's no tomorrow. Where it's legal, we're going to just use it against you. We're going to ballot harvest. Suddenly the left is like, what? You can't do that. That's bad. Why is it so bad? You guys have been doing it. You don't like it all of a sudden because it could be used against you? Oh, no, it's so bad. And then after Trump started asking people to chip in for a ballot harvesting fund in a fundraising email, the press, oh, that's so bad. But you guys do it. So why all of a sudden is it bad to use the same stuff that you guys have been using for forever? Because you can't use it. Well, why not? It's not just a tool for you. You see where I'm going with this? They don't like any of this. I'm. You know what? Why is it that it's just one candidate or another candidate? Where's the whole party? Where is the Republican National Committee getting involved in this? Where's the Republican Senatorial Committee, the House Committee? You know, those little groups that get involved in all of the Senate and the congressional races, not just the presidential races and all of this stuff. Where is the entire party? You cannot start too early. Where are they at in this? Not a peep. But oh my gosh, they send me emails for everything else. Where's the box I can check where I only want to hear things about mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting? Where's that at? You see why I get so mad? You know what? Instead of all these people, all the people who are like, I love Haley, or I love DeSantis, or I love Trump, or I love Ramaswamy, instead of everybody, beep, 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 you know what would be awesome is if everybody got together and found out how we could totally screw our opposition with ballot harvesting in the states where it's legal. Oh, no, but heaven forbid. The right's turning into the left on finding common ground on anything. That's like it's so aggravated. Now, Kane believes hardcore. You really think there's going to be another push for a shutdown? Oh, yeah. I will legit commit crimes. I will riot.
I've been seeing now they're trying to develop, there's this new variant, COVID variant.
Oh my gosh.
And apparently it's combined with some other variant that apparently isn't good. So I wouldn't be surprised because they saw that the avenue to mail-in voting.
Oh yeah, they saw it.
Was COVID. So they are going to do something similar and it'll probably be.
If I feel like I have symptoms that they describe that are COVID, like if I get a scratch, I'm not even going to get tested anymore. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care.
We all learn not to listen.
I don't care. I'm not going to get tested for another damn thing. I don't care. You know what? Because it's a virus, it's a cold virus, but it's COVID. The novel coronavirus, you know, colds are coronaviruses too. You know why it was called novel? Because it's new. Yep. Stop it. And not everything's COVID. Oh my gosh. All right. I was angsty over these issues. I needed to get this out of my system because we got to talk about some other stuff that we got to get into as well, including, well, I don't know. We got Alejandro Mayorkas is going down to the border. Nothing's being done there too. Hey, maybe the RNC can send another group of Republicans to take pictures at Eagle Pass again.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, well, I mean, you know, there's probably less tastier ways to go. I don't know how this is sad. So this woman was sadly boiled alive in a tank of molten caramel. Caramel or caramel? I know that, but I'm like, what?
I say caramel.
Okay. Workers, this is so sad. I don't want to make light of it, but I mean, hell, this headline. Worker saw her legs poking out. She was boiled to death. She was trying to, God love her, she was trying to clean a caramel tank in this accident in Russia. Of course, it was in Russia. And she was boiled alive in the tank after she fell inside. And the colleagues said that they only realized it when her legs poked out. 36 years old. Wait. So she was cleaning the mixer when the caramel suddenly began to flow into the bowl. Because I was getting ready to ask, well, how do you clean the bowl when somebody messed up? Clearly. But, I mean, at least it was caramel. That's so horrible. I'm just, okay. An 18-year-old is accused of ramming a septic truck into a police cruiser. And I got to say, this is the oldest 18-year-old I've ever seen in my life. And he's got drug mouth. You know what I mean? Where they got the crusties. He's got that. An 18-year-old is accused of ramming a septic truck into a police cruiser and I don't know. I don't care. It's disgusting. This is gross. Connecticut. He's totally in trouble. $100,000 bond. He's got to appear in court like in 2 days. Stick with us. Stephen Yates next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. I don't know if you all saw this story of, and I think this, make sure I get the date on this right, because it just hit like last week, like end of last week, where the Biden administration sidestepped Congress again for an emergency arms sale. Now, there's a process that Congress has to go through, that the administration has to go through, even when selling arms. And I thought that it was, you know, we give so much military aid and arms to Ukraine, and then we gave, and I have no problem with helping Israel as an ally. I have no problem with helping Israel. But the problem then becomes, it becomes a problem when I look at this story in comparison. So we have the United States that is dragging its feet on any kind of arms sales to Taiwan. And we've had, you know, a place in this deal in place for decades to sell arms to Taiwan. But for whatever reason, why this is such an issue for this administration and this government to do it, I don't quite understand it, especially when you compare it to Israel and Ukraine. Maybe for some more insight into this, our very good friend, Stephen Yates. It's his first appearance with us here this new year. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Hey, Happy New Year.
You can find him at YatesComms. I got to give him all the particulars. You can find him at YatesComms on X, not Twitter, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. Okay, why is this, Stephen? Why is it like pulling teeth when we talk about, because Taiwan would love to spend some nice cash money on some good U.S. arms. I'm a capitalist. I'm all for selling them that. But then we have, you know, it's a big ordeal to even get approval or even bring it up in national discourse. But yet, you know, Biden administration can sidestep Congress on a number of issues for anybody else.
Yeah, this is one of those things that made me old and bald faster than I should have been, because it really doesn't make good sense, not just from a common sense point of view. I think it's bad for American national interests. All right, number one, here is a partner and an ally in many ways willing to pay cash money, which, by the way, we have an unfavorable trade balance with Taiwan. They're friends, but they still get a good deal in our economic relationship. This gets some of those greenbacks back to America, which would be a good thing. Keeps jobs flowing in America, and it helps them be more able to defend themselves. And shouldn't we want them able to defend themselves so they're not relying on dialing up 911 and for Uncle Sam to come in? So just, it really doesn't make good sense. And then also from a bureaucratic point of view, I mean, this has just been so remarkably stupid for so long. And a lot of this, I think the Biden administration has made worse, but frankly, a lot of the predecessors were not good either. We only sell the sort of used systems, the lower rate systems. And we sort of comma mess ourselves for a long time to be able to even provide that. Meanwhile, China faces no speed bumps and stealing American technology or buying Russian technology and kind of ramping up the pressure. So it's just bad brain work and it's super bad policy work. And oh, by the way, the Secretary of Defense is supposed to sign off on this stuff and he's not around.
Yeah. Which is his position actually all that important? If he's not there, nobody notices.
Kind of. Well, that should be a really good rule of thumb for, say, a new administration that wants to set a benchmark. Anyone who considers themselves to be non-essential so that they can take the day off or they can remote work for an extended period of time, consider that move permanent.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates. To this point, AP headline, China sanctioning five U.S. defense companies in response to sanctions and arms sales to Taiwan. The bare minimum that we do. China acts they're very offended. They've announced big sanctions Sunday on five American defense-related companies. Yet, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I also saw over the weekend that North Korea fired all these artillery rounds at South Korea border island. I mean, isn't pretty much everything that North Korea fires from China anyway? So what is China complaining about?
Yeah, well, China has gotten very, very used to being able to be a hypocrite and play both sides of the fence, and they've gotten away with it. So if you've been able to act with impunity, why would you stop? So it's just really, really easy to kind of tell what's going on here. Some of this is political theater and bluster. I think we have to take what China is doing and saying seriously enough that we have to be prepared in case they would do something dangerous and irresponsible. But of course, they're just crying wolf about this. Basically, I think that we should find in every agency of government and every branch of government some way to offend the sensitive feelings of the Chinese leadership every day, at least once.
Like this.
And you get more marks if you do it three or four times.
I do like this. You know, we should probably, if we sell more stuff to Taiwan, we should have Winnie the Pooh on it or something to that effect. I mean, I'm absolutely
name and shame, but emphasis the shame.
I wanted to kind of, because I have a million things to talk to you about. It's been a while since we spoke. First show back that we have you for New Year, but over, I guess it was like maybe it's kind of an older soundbite, but I keep hearing it over and over again, especially amongst some Republicans that say, "Oh my gosh, a win for Russia and Ukraine is a win for China." Can you explain to me because we can't figure that out. We can't figure that one out. How?
Well, there are people that I consider to be intelligent and my friends, but I have to unfortunately say that makes me throw up a little in my mouth every time I hear it, because it just does not work. So what happens in Ukraine is not going to change what is happening in East Asia. When you have basically you have a land invasion by a country that I think our August vice president said is a big country that went into another country. When it comes to China and Taiwan, there's 100 miles of water and it's choppy water. And this would be a much, much different situation. But it might kind of make China more willing to do something against Taiwan if it believed the U.S. was tied down in Ukraine.
That's a big
intractably. But the bottom line is no one, after billions and billions of dollars have been spent on the intelligence community, lots of money spent and paper wasted on our diplomats trying to get at knowledge inside China, none of them have an accurate read on what decisions Xi Jinping is going to make. And if they had the perfect memo, are they going to hold him to it? So all of this is a wasted breath. We should deal with the Ukraine situation based on what our national interests are there. We have a problem in the Middle East. And basically what we have is, I think, two bigger challenges of malign influences. The malign influences of the mullahs in Iran and the malign influences of the CCP. Hmm. I think the CCP is the bigger problem civilizationally. But the mullahs in Iran are no small problem right now. We need to be minimizing our overstretch and maximizing the ability of allies. And basically what's happening in Ukraine is not a happy narrative from my point of view.
Yeah, I agree with you. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates, you can find him on X at Yates Comms. This headline from CNN, China feels that the country isn't patriotic enough. So they're introducing a new law to change this. This is wild. I don't know. Are you even free to be quote patriotic in a communist country? I mean, I just feel like if they're forcing you to do it, then it's not patriotism. Isn't that patriotism is like voluntary?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like stand-up comics where you have to laugh, otherwise you get electrocuted in your seat. And so basically this is a forced love of country. And of course, what they really mean is you have to love your leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, this country is just my toy, but you really better love my leadership and don't question it right now. And so, yeah, it's absolutely absurd. It's one of the reasons why we shouldn't assume China is 10 feet tall or will be successful forever. But it's because of these problems that they're dangerous, in my view. This compulsory patriotism is lunatic. It's like a dating service that forces you to think the other person is beautiful, even though they're a dog-faced pony soldier, as our president would say.
I like that. Yeah, the patriotic education law, enhancing national unity, or else. Boy, that's...
Yeah.
I'm glad we don't have anything like that here. I want to go back really quickly to the Lloyd Austin thing, because this, to me, is such a crazy story. We mentioned it briefly, and I wanted to circle back to it, because one of the things that stuck out to me is the deputy Secretary of Defense was, I guess, vacationing in Puerto Rico when she was told that she was going to need to fill in for Lloyd Austin because she was kind of kept in the dark as to why. Is that unusual?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like to name drop, and I don't like other people who do for the most part. And I don't really like to overblow where I've been or what I've done.
Yates, if you're unfamiliar, but Yates has been in every administration.
I spent 5 years in a White House, and I don't think every decision was right, whatever, bygones. But I didn't spend a day in the White House where I didn't actually know for a fact that the vice president and the president had spoken, the president and the national security advisor had spoken, that their deputies were in meetings together, their deputies knew where their principal was. There were decisions that had to be made where you had to get clearance and you were talking through these things. There wasn't a single, and that was before 9/11. After 9/11, it was like that in spades because you focused on continuity of government. But the Constitution gives very specific enumerated responsibilities in the chain of command from the commander in chief to the secretary of defense, and that's incredibly important. It is beyond my imagination that anything like this could ever have happened. I mean, I like sarcasm and humor, and I'd like to find a joke in this. This terrifies me. This is complete dereliction of duty. I mean, the North Koreans could have popped something off terrible. The Chinese could have gone on Taiwan. The Iranians could have done more to back their proxies hitting Israel and others. And who knows what's coming over our border. And we've got a Secretary of Defense who can just disappear for the better part of a week. And it's not like it's kept from the media. Shame on them for not even noticing or asking. But my goodness, within the White House, and the national security structure, it's beyond conceivable to me. It's terrifying.
Yeah. And with everything that's been happening, we've had, what, attacks on U.S. soldiers. We struck one of the big bad Houthi guys in Baghdad. Speaking of Houthi, my gosh, the attacks on merchant ships and the United States having to respond to that, the Houthis that are right there in Yemen, which then brings me to the whole point of shipping. We've talked a little bit about this last time you were with us. Suez Canal, et cetera, et cetera. Where are the other Arab nations that are stepping up and saying, these are literally these are our waters. We could probably do a heck of a lot more to police this and not just have the United States take the lead on it. Where are they?
Well, number one, they might be deterred from speaking up because the Biden administration has basically scared people into, if they take their own initiative, that they'll face criticisms and sanctions of their own. One of the most unusual experiences of my public policy life was on basically the very beginning of the Biden administration. The president went to the State Department, and of all the places he might have mentioned in the entire world, he talked about the Houthis and that civil war. And I thought, where in this election campaign was this word ever even mentioned? But oddly enough, this was a priority for the Biden administration. And why would that be? A surrogate of Iran getting off of some kind of a watch list and getting more room to breathe in a civil war and brushing back our Arab allies for their intervention to try to stop the Iranians and the terrorists. Well, as we know, it's because they have leaned in favor of appeasing Tehran as their version of a path to stability in the Middle East. I think it's a fool's errand. It's a lie. It's dangerous. But oddly enough, the Houthis have been at the beginning of this strategy by the administration from the very beginning of the administration. Don't take my word for it. take Jumpin' Joe's word for it from his first speech to the State Department.
2024, November can't come soon enough. But then at the same time, can it, though? Because I just get nervous all around. Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. So good to see you. Happy New Year to you, my friend. Look forward to everything this year.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I understand their passion. And I've been quietly working. With the Israeli government to get them to reduce and significantly get out of Gaza. I'm using all that I can to do.
What? It's not your business, dude. It's not your business to get anybody out of Gaza. Can you imagine? Well, you know, United States, you need to calm down a little bit after 9/11. I mean, you know, good grief. What a stupid soundbite. He will fold to appease anybody the moment there's any bit of heat. Welcome back to the program. There's Joe Biden just a little bit ago. Pretty amazing. Good heavens, good heavens, good heavens. I wanted to tell you this. So in Spain, apparently, they just announced this. Insider says Spain's proposed a nationwide mandate for people to wear masks in hospitals and health clinics again. Getting into what Kane says they're going to try to do always. You know, it's an election year. I'm going to tell you what, if you want, as Kane, he said, founding fathers again, if you want that 2.0, then you try this in the United States. Try it in the United States and see what happens. Because we'll be in the streets and it won't be pretty. You try no masks, no mandates, no lockdowns. Not doing it again. Shouldn't have done it the first damn time. We're not doing it again. Not again. And it's just, it's so stupid. So stupid. But it's about control. I wouldn't doubt that they would try to, and they being the powers that be, all the people that are like-minded in positions of power, I wouldn't doubt that, you know, they'd try to test it again and see, because that's really what it was this last time. And people go right along with it. There are enough people that went right along with it. Smart people that should have known better. Good grief. You saw what happened, how they redid, how they changed the in a number of states. Change the nature of the process of voting and what is allowed and isn't allowed. Where's the RNC on that again? All right. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is our president of these United States. By the way, you do realize that the Democrats are the party of the ones who are tearing down history statues and all that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember all those statues tearing down?
We're going to talk about some of that.
They're
tomorrow.
Still doing it, actually. Mm-hmm. This is what he said in South Carolina today. Listen.
I'm keeping my commitment to you. That's the America we're building together. Instead of erasing history, we're making history.
What? No, you Wait, literally what? Have been erasing history.
Yeah, what?
That's literally what you've been doing.
Yeah, that doesn't make any
is
sense.
We're going to talk
about the statue stuff because people are still doing this. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever. And something else I don't get. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. But man, so our first full week back in 2024, make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, send a lot of good stuff out, including the prep that I use for the program. Have a wonderful night. Back with you tomorrow.